West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Talofa Lava, welcome to the 135 Footy Show. Round three of the NRL season, multicultural round. Let's get straight into it. Welcome my guest, favourite guest, Simon Amani. How's it going, mate?
Talofa Lava, Maloso. Welcome. Hello to all our hundreds and 36 listeners out there. Maloso for what?
Man, yeah, another good round of footy, another lot of topics to talk about, so let's get straight into it. Before we get into it, I just want to run down on our points from our predictions last week. Bro, you took it out. The only ones you got wrong last week, you got 6 from 8. You went with the Wires and the Roosters, mate. What happened there? How do you think about those predictions? What do you think went wrong with those? The teams let you down, or just you're a bit off with your predictions, mate?
Oh, mate, what do you mean a bit off? Fuck, number one, if the Warriors didn't choke in the last 2 minutes, that would have been a good call, bro. And number two, Roosters, Manly, that was a tough one. That was 50-50 also, and we'll touch on it a little bit later with our little quick reviews, but, man, that was a high-quality game, man. Manly's looking the shiz. But you look at their Roosters lineup, bro. They didn't play too bad, bro. I thought Manly just came out of the blocks, and so no, I don't think I was too far off, bro. It was the week before. I think we got sussed with a lot of those upsets, eh?
Yeah, the upsets got everyone. You're right. Like just a bit around those upsets from the week before. The Roosters didn't look too bad. Before we get into all the other games, you reckon that was a bit of the Spencer and New stuff kind of played into that mindset of the Roosters, or just Manly were too good?
Nah, I don't think they had plenty of ball to win the game, and like I said, they didn't play too bad. I think it was just more of Manly playing out of their skin. Was kind of you could argue they're the form team. It was,
yeah.
You know, Roosters, they deserved their win game one, and against the Broncos, it was a pretty tough outing. And they just come up against a better Manly team, and the performance wasn't too bad also. But they'll be top eight. They'll be top eight, definitely.
Did you have them in your eight originally? I need to
look
through my notes here, mate. Are you sure?
I had them in my eight. I didn't have Manly in my eight. They continue the way they're continuing. I'll have some far more on my face, but I think I'm sure I had them in my top four, man. But they'll be a force to be reckoned with. I think having Jared Warrior Hargreaves kind of balance out the loss of Lingyu.
Yes.
But, yeah, man, don't sleep on the Roosters, man.
Oh. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking maybe around round five, let's do a little bit of a check-in on our predictions, and maybe we can adjust those. But let's get straight into last week's games. Your Bronx, during our podcast last week, mate, you were watching your Bronx and celebrating. In the end, you guys took it out 2018. Nice, bro. I think the Roosters had a pretty ugly first half. How did you see it?
Yeah, I was not too overly excited about the performance. I thought Reece Walsh kind of single-handedly won the game for us. You know, he was the big difference. But glad they got the 2 points, but like I said, there's a lot of work-ons. Bunny's not travelling too well, but we can let in some soft tries there. And, the attacks just, you know, it was a lot of individual brilliance there from Reece Walsh. But just together as a team, there's a lot of things to work on attack. I thought when Ben Haas goes off, there's a definite, you can feel the change in the Broncos, not only their line speed on defence, but just, you know, the meterage that they can get out of their bench was probably a little bit of a weakness. But, yeah, like I said, bro, it's good to get the 2 points, one from two, and start the season off in front of the home crowd.
A big win too, like 10 points, like the numbers, 28-18 looks pretty impressive. And without that, like, kind of final Latrell try, the Rabbits, overall, pretty disappointing. And to that point, Ilias is being dropped. Your thoughts on Ilias being dropped as the scapegoat? That's a big call to just, you know, 2 games into the season and already trying to make some big changes.
Tough call. But he had a couple of bad blunders, but I don't think the rest of the team. I think the worrying thing for them is maybe their pack, like outside of Cameron Murray. I just don't think they've got, you know, they can foot it with other packs, but I don't think they've got a dominating pack. And then you can tell with Cody Walker, Latrell. Well, Cody Walker's just him and Damien Cook just not getting that speed of the play of the ball, eh? You know, to do their business to unleash Latrell. And saying that, Latrell's probably their best player at the moment. He hasn't put a foot wrong, but defense let them down, and just their pack. So I picked them for the 8, bro, but they're probably the, you know, 0-2, but it's just the way they've lost first to Manly and then this one to the Bronx, looking quite a bit of a poor start, eh?
Yeah, especially when you mention the pack, like, definitely not household names. Like, you talk about guys like Jared Waiwere Hargraves, Payne Haas, Aidan Fanua-Blake. You got Totola and Sean Kepi. Kepi, yeah, he's been around and you hear that name a bit. Kepi being dropped back to the bench, and so still a lot of soul-searching. Starting Totola now, and Davey Moale. So, yeah, I think you're right in terms of that pack. Not much to kind of get overexcited about when you look at that Rabbitohs pack. So yeah, probably a lot that needs to work on there. Cool. Let's before we talk about any other stuff that's happened outside of that game, let's move over to the Friday night game, the Sharks versus the Bulldogs. I thought the Bulldogs did a lot better. They started well. They showed signs of a bit more. The scoreboard probably doesn't tell the full story of the game. I thought they did look a bit better than their first hit out. But how did you see it?
I didn't.
Yeah.
No, also, I think judging from the scoreline, the Sharks are a little, well, for me anyway, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but I thought they were quite poor last season, and that's the, just for the last couple of years, just struggling to get to that next level. But they've started the season with, and they've got that defensive,
mongrel, yeah.
That defensive mongrel again. So, man, you look at the team, bro, they, you know, they've got couple of good props. Our humble boy's going strong there. Nico Hines and Trindle, they've got some good attacking halves there, bro, and a safe fullback. Pretty, I wouldn't say, like, you know, a forward pack that's capable, bro, of footing it with the best of teams, bro. I still think that they're one of these teams will make the 8, but maybe just outside the top 4. But
review your picks, mate. There seems to be a lot of new entries into your top 8 there, mate.
Did I have them in the 8 or did I have them missing?
I don't I'm not sure. I'll need to go check. It's
not
seems to be a lot of new entrants into your predictions there.
It's a open and closed door policy with my 8 deals, but I think I can see them making the 8, bro. They're a pretty decent team. On the Doggies, Tole, man, I was a real estate. They make noises with the big buy of having Critter in there, but
yeah.
They just, I think their pack's still missing. They got Kiko in there, but, bro, to be honest, the poor Fiki, he's not, well, he had an injury plague season last year, but he just hasn't been the same, eh?
Yeah, since he left the Panthers mold, man, it's, hasn't been.
You look at his fantasy points, bro. Down on when he was fucking running off Luai there.
Is that why you dropped him? Is that why you get? Oh, was it you that gave him up?
Nah. I didn't even want him. I saw him available. And I was like, you know what?
Someone gave up on him, man.
This team's not providing for him, bro. He needs parts around him, eh? To put him in the taco, man. Shit. Anyway.
Yeah. That's a big point, though. Like, you think about the Sharks team that went on the roll to win the premiership recently, and it was off the back of defense. So I think Craig Fitzgibbon's doing a good job in instilling that back in the Sharks. Nothing flashy, no big names, no one that really stands out. Like, Hamley Wehle is not back in there. Toby Rudolph's doing a job. But they're not. Yeah, I think it's a real balanced team and everyone's just doing what they need to do. So I'm still not convinced, but I think they're having a really great start to their season. The Panthers and Eels, that was a real good game. I had picked the Eels on that one. You picked the Panthers on that? Yeah, you went the Penny Panthers for this game. The Eels have had their number for the last 3 years. What was it that you saw in the Panthers over the Eels that was going to make the difference?
I wasn't too confident. Like you said, they've had a good record. I wouldn't say they've got it over them. I think they've had a good record during the regular season. We all know a couple of years ago they lost in the grand final and Eels haven't managed to put it together come finals time, but they're that team that can throw it around and offload the ball, and that's kind of footy that can trouble the Panthers. But I just, you know what, the quality of the Panthers, bro, I just thought, man, they're not going to start 0-2, man. And if you add in the loss to the club, I think there's just too much class in there for them to lose three on the spot there, if you include the preseason club clash. So, it was a good close game, man. Could have went either way, but
yeah.
Bro, Panthers, like they did in the grand final, they just hold on, bro. You can be dominating on the stat sheet. They can be starved of ball, but they just hold on and hold on. And are a very patient team, bro, and they can claw back, eh?
The Eels, though, to their credit, they did look good. Like, they had some points on them, but you're right. You know, freaks like Isaac Tungo seems to be putting up his hand.
How good is those going?
Seems to have put up his hand in the last minute as well, in this game as well. So he's going real well.
We'll mention that when we talk about the multicultural round, but he was actually the Samoan coach's picking Samoan player of the week each week, bro. And so he was last week's one. Isaac Tungo.
Yeah, well deserved because, he's definitely putting up his hand for the Samoan team, but also the Panthers. He looked real impressive. From the Eels, I said earlier in the year, in terms of the guys that need to stand up, Dylan Brown's been doing a number for the Eels. He's been looking real good. So hopefully he continues the way he's going. The Raiders and the Tigers. So first game for the Tigers. First hit out for them in round two. First game of the season for them. Big hopes. Disappointing start for them. I don't know if you caught that game. But the Raiders are looking real solid. I guess it's solid. The Raiders, I'm not convinced still, but they're like a real play with your honor and pride kind of team.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't catch that game live, but I went back and watched the highlights, bro. The Tigers won't trouble the competition this year, man. I can confidently say that. So, a tough one to judge the Raiders, but you're right, bro. They're just tough, man. And I think they're leading the comp, bro. Points differential,
top of the table, man.
Yeah. So you know you have to be on top of your game to beat them, bro. And they're just one of those tough, nitty gritty teams, bro. It was a good win, but nothing to, you know, let's not get out the parades yet, bro. It's just relax, Tui. Early days, mate, early days.
Yeah. I mean, with the losses they've had, you know, they lost Whiten. They've got some other players coming back into the fold. You know, they still haven't had Elliot Whitehead come back in. I think he might be returning this week. So, yeah, for the two games they've had, solid, really, really playing, you know, hearts on their sleeves. So, hats off to the Raiders. Tigers, I thought they were okay. I was hoping that they'd be looking a bit stronger than they did last year. I don't think I can say they were. I don't think they'll go as bad as they did last year, but many more rounds to go.
Well, they can be stronger than they were last year, but that means shit. That means they're going to be, you know, changing where they are on the table, man.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to be improving from last year. I just don't think they've got the manpower, eh, bro?
Yeah, I mean,
to get off the bottom.
Yeah, you can't say that they've got a good roster. You know, they've got some good buys, and Uppy was there last year, though, and he, you know, through injury, he just didn't really get a good kickoff. So, yeah, probably better than last year, but maybe not as good as the Tigers. And some of the talk around Benji, we'll touch on that later. The whole 24/7 coach, we'll get into that. But let's move on to the next game. The Cowboys and Knights, very tough game for the Cowboys, but impressive to get away with a win. I don't know if you caught that game. I didn't think the Knights were amazing. They look like they should have won that game, but somehow the Cowboys came back to win. Valentine was, I said the week before, he was probably my most impressive standout player. And then he put on that performance last week where he dropped nearly every ball that came to him.
Bro, that was like a game of two halves, man. But the Knights, their first half, they looked like a team that were pissed off they lost the week before, man.
Exactly. You know?
And
they looked like they knew,
but I think
they had to come back.
Yeah. But a lot of that was to do with the Cowboys. They just played shit, man, their first half. Dropped a lot of balls. And the tries that they did score, bro, Holmes was like, left his kicking boots at home, man. That's probably the worst game I've ever seen him play, bro. And he's one of my favorite players in the comp. But Cowboys is one of these teams, bro. They got the attack to pile on the points in quick succession, man. And you look at the Knights, bro. They're another team that's made a change to their halves, bro. Jackson Hastings is gone. And they got Cogger. Their boy from Penrith, who I rate a lot, man. He's big part of one of the worst last 20 minutes of last year's games.
Yes.
When the Bronx went down, when Lua went off.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get any credit, bro, but, man, Cocker almost kind of like unleashed Cleary that game, bro, and he's I wouldn't say underrated, but now he's got his chance, bro, and
some commentators say that if Luai played the rest of that game, the Bronx would have won that game.
Yeah, wow. Could have, would have, should have. But, bro, it was just, like I said, Cowboys and Drinkwater, bro, they got that attack, man. They got forward pack to just pile on the points, bro, and it wasn't very high quality, man, like, especially with Cowboys in the first half, and then the Knights let slip a lead, but, bro, it was nothing to, I don't know, I see the Knights in that middle ground, like, maybe one of those teams fighting for a spot in the eight. Cowboys, I definitely think they're capable of, you know, I mean, top four, even bottom four of the eight. But yeah, bro, it wasn't too much of a highlight of a game, to be honest.
Didn't impress me though. I think he's impressed a lot of people. You reckon he'll be getting a maroon jersey this year, somewhere on the bench at least?
I think he's deserving. I think he's definitely in that next generation of kids. But
you still got Munster there, eh?
Yeah, bro. He's not gonna. If Munster plays a few games under his belt, he'll definitely be there. And then you'll have to think Ben Hunt's still got that 14 position, man. That's the only way he'd get in. I mean, he's capable, bro. I love when he's taking on the line.
Yeah,
man, it was a bit of a loss when we lost him from Bronx, man. Like, another one of Seabold's errors, letting him go. But, yeah, man, I would say in the next 3 or 4 years, bro. But as long as Munster's there, bro, it's going to be hard for him to crack the team.
Yeah,
starting lineup, that's for sure.
In saying that, though, like with Ben Hunt solidifying that 14, any chance that you'd play either Caden or Reese out of position? Chuck him on a wing or a centre, similar like what New South do with Latrell and Turbo? Would you try and have both of them in the team if they're running both well?
Now you're sounding like Freddie Fillon with your silly scenarios. Like, we got fucking mean centres. We've got mean wingers, bro. Why would you play someone out of place?
So you just got to say no. Just got to be tough and go, man, well, you're awesome.
Just because they're both better good fullbacks.
Yeah.
You got to look at the team. Well, in my opinion, you got to look at the team dynamics. So, Caelan Pong has played 14 before, but what if our nine goes down? You want him to play tackle in the middle all game?
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think Ben Hunt's perfect. Perfect number 14. He can play in the middle. He can come and replace any position in the back line. So in that regard, he's probably the most, and with his experience, probably the most highly qualified number 14. And when it comes to number one, bro, that's still up in the air. I think you'd probably put Walsh as the incumbent. And, like, probably, judging on the first two games, probably got the form on the board. So, in saying that, bro, it's
either. Still one has to go. Out, so we just got to be hard.
Yeah, and if you look at the last, how they closed the season off, you would say that Ponga was probably the best performer. He was. So, that's one good headache that Billy Slater's got, bro. But I'm not of the opinion where you try to fit them both into the 17, especially if you've got a good 14. And I think you just pick the best fullback to go with it, eh?
Nice. All right, let's move to this next game, the last game of Saturday night. I stayed up all night watching all of these games so I could watch this game, the Warriors versus the Storm. Warriors disappointing in the first half. Messi got, man, they got pants in the first 15. I thought we were done. They managed to grind themselves to last the half. And then the second half, man, I haven't seen any other team those kind of attack plays within their 20. You know, Johnson had a good kicking game just to keep us in the grind. And then once we got into that attacking zone, executed every single time. Hindsight's a beautiful thing because I think looking back now, maybe that second penalty, the Pappenhausen penalty, maybe we should have run it. But I don't know any team who would have been able to stop that try from Xavier Coates. That was 14 in a row, hoping not to make it 15, and unfortunately, there's a new record for the Storm, 15 wins against another rival team.
Yeah, bro, that was an awesome game, man. And I almost, like, felt sorry for the Warriors fans there because they did so well to claw back, but not only claw back, but get ahead a couple of tries. And with 5 minutes to go, man, you're like, you think, I just, like, you mentioned Johnson's kicking game, and it's what got them back into the game. And this, but he's being your half and one of your leaders, I think he should have iced that game a little bit better than what he did. And defensively, in the five, the last one, man, that was a fucking freak try, man. It's tough to defend that try, 1-on-1. But to let them get to that point on the field, in their last set, that was poor from the Warriors, bro. That was the biggest fucking chokage out, bro. No, and even to let them in for the next try, it was like, oh yeah, so you've let them claw your way back. You killed my 13 plus, but now there's fucking like a minute to go. Like, toughen up on your line, bro. And off the kickoff, bro, they marched all the way up, bro. It's like, man.
So we were going set for set, and there was the Roger play of the ball, which we turned over because Harry Grant interfered in the play of the ball, but they ruled it as being Roger poor play of the ball. So I reckon that's a bit of a Harry Grant getting one back. You know, he was a bit dicey at the end there.
You guys did get dudded in a few calls.
Yes.
That one was the right call. Oof. Like, I don't think Harry Grant put his via there on purpose. But when you play the ball, it's up to the guy playing the ball.
Yeah, see, he fooled you as well then. He fooled you as well.
Yeah, but just because his foot's there, you don't put the ball on there to play it. The Kelea space le malai, man. It's like all that grass and you want to play it on. That's a fair penalty. But was one of the tries, was it the first half? And they did a block play, but Jackson Ford, who was the front runner, ran a good line, and it made Jerome Hughes turn in. And Hughes turned in, and he got Jackson Ford on the inside of his shoulder. Solo, that's exactly how you run that back block play. You want to turn guys in. So it was Hughes that made the decision to turn in.
But yes,
that was a hard call. To send it up.
That was a hard call.
They sent it up. And the fucking video ref, like the video ref, calls it like an obstruction. Like, bras. So now when you commit a defender, the defender makes the decision to come in and...
he turned.
I don't know if they saw it that way, or they just got way wrong.
The bunker caught it as Jackson Ford's running to Jerome Hughes' chest. I'm like, he's running to his inside shoulder and Jerome turns in.
So that's what I mean. Like, so if they're following along those lines, then the premise I understand. That's correct. Then if the runner, front runner, initiates the contact,
exactly.
But Solly, is he any fucking specsavers or what? Like he didn't initiate the contact. It was
He does. Whoever was the bunker needs a jab.
What he said was correct. Like, if that happened, but that didn't happen, it was fucking Jerome Hughes that made the decision to come in. So that was a tough try, denied a try. There was a couple of other harsh calls, but you can't say that was the winning and losing the game. Come on, is that what you're trying to reach?
So I think that's the thing. Like, one thing the Warriors built themselves on last year was ignoring, like, whatever's happening in the game, bad calls, whatever, that's not what they can control. And so I hope the Warriors carry on what they were doing last year. And it showed in the second half that they can't control those games. All they can control is the way they play. And I think it showed for the majority of the second half. And I think they can build on that. Just probably a real disappointing game, knowing that they had a great start to the Sharks game and fell off at the end. Then they had a poor start to this game. Man, that second half was pretty much perfect except for that last 5 minutes. You think the way they worked that game just kept grinding and limiting what the Storm could do. Not many teams can do that to the Melbourne Storm, so...
Yeah, it was... bro, I wouldn't be too down, as a Warriors supporter, bro. It was a good performance. What's scary about that is that Sole Stormer without Nelson Asofa Solomona, and they're without Cameron Munster, bro. So, you know, two international class players. But, yeah, bro, like, I'd be happy with the effort of the boys, especially to come back. Firstly, to come back and then dominate on the scoreboard, be in front, but just harsh luck. Let's talk about the try at the Annals. Fucking how good, man. How many tries have you...
Yeah.
That's got to be up there with fucking... at one of the best, if not the very best finish.
Really hard to kind of compare it to anything because there's not many games you... Especially where it was in the game. Like, you get tries that are amazing. Like, that's a Queensland try. That's a... Through and through, that's a heartbreaking Queensland try that they Lamarck Coin kind of at the buzzer. That's what
just kills. Was up, the, you know the what? Team. As a try, a team try.
Yeah,
that's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
but like individual finish.
Yeah, the brilliance of that, I've never especially seen. That far and, out. Dallin's like such a competitor. Anyone else, Dallin pushes him out before he even gets close. And that's just freakish what Xavier was able to do.
Well, the thing, because Watson is a listener, kind of he's really the only one that does that as well. That propels themselves up and out, right?
Like most the whole other body's outside of the touchline, and only they know where that ball's going. Well, he did it earlier, that one where he went for the corner and his eyes like. Didn't look at the defender. Jonah Pizzo was coming, but he just like knew where his target was, and he just ran for that corner because that's how they train. He knew like this is what I got to do. Even if this guy catches me, I can see my target, and that's the way Xavier scored that.
So him, both those wingers are probably like similar, like Xavier, similar body type. Xavier Coates is a little bit taller, but every other winger in the NRL will kind of go low and around, right? Mm-mm. But what Xavier Coates did was fucking just propel himself high, bro. Yeah,
just freakish. Like, he knew he was there, got the ball, and then just jumped, like, I don't know how far out he was. Probably, like, 5 meters or something.
It's how his body's fucking in there.
But the consciousness, like, even the slow-mo, like, I was waiting for his hand. Like, you know, they were saying, oh, we got to watch the left hand. And his hand's like this. And then just before the line, he, like, closes it, like, knowing... I can't let this
You were
hand.
Wishing.
Man,
you were wishing
I went up to the screen. When I was like, when he scored it, I went up to the screen. I was doing this, watching, like, he's touched the ground, man. And when I saw his hand close, I was like, man, that's...
You were trying to have a look, hey? You're pausing it. It touched the ground, man.
I am now the touch... I am now the video ref, man. I was watching that. Yeah, you... That's brilliance. Like, you can't... You can't hate on that because that's just individual brilliance. As much as it's a team try to get themselves in that position, Xavier has to execute. So, you know, you can do those plays, all the trainings you want, but if he can't pull it off, that's on him. So he deserves all the accolades for that 79th-minute try. Anyway, but yes... no doubt that's nothing disheartening with the Warriors. So much effort, so much belief, and I don't think that, you know, premierships aren't won in March like everyone says. Going into Sunday, another awesome game is a flip side of the Vegas games. First time the round zero teams meet again, and the Sea Eagles take on the Roosters. Everyone was anticipating this game. Return of Jared Wairua Hargraves. Man, the Sea Eagles look, as much as they looked on in Vegas, they looked on again over at Four Pines Park. Luke Brooks is still impressing me the way he's playing. 21-14 win over the Roosters. How'd you see this, man?
Yeah, bro, that was impressive, bro. Luke Brooks is playing really well, man. Playing really well. It's some good combinations on that left-hand side, bro. I think Manly's going to be, I don't know if I call them a surprise packet, but they got quality players, bro. But definitely on attack, they got guns everywhere, man. Roosters didn't play too bad as well, man. I just think they got beaten by a better team, bro.
Yeah, and that's what it is a better team. And just more attacking options. Just even Cherry Evans, like, he usually just sticks to his side. But he started, you know, coming across and linking up with Brooks. So Brooks was all over the show. So, yeah, he's been real impressive. I guess everyone talks about he's a running player and, you know, just lets him play his natural game. And, man, his natural game is like schoolboy footy, like just having a go anywhere on the field. That's what was pretty impressive to see. Just him really having a dig on both sides, just wherever he is on the field, just going and just going a hundy as well when he's going. So, yeah, real impressed by Brooks. Man, early in the season again, like to be excited. Kola, I was impressed with Kola. I was happy Kola picked up that third try. Scored me some money in the TAB. I thought that when Polo went off, I was like, oh, yeah, it gives them an opportunity to score. And sure enough, Kola got in there. Yeah, Dominic Young, man, that try he scored, he looked good when he just gunned it down you know, Tedesco just saw him and just gave it back to him. So good to see him out there running. He missed the Vegas jump, so it was good to see him get a chance to stretch his legs and have a go. And yeah, I was impressed with Dominic Young, and hopefully he goes well this season as well. I don't know who else impressed you in that game. I guess we're all talking about Brooks.
Ah, fuck it, man, let's move on. It was all right. Let's not get too excited, bro. It's game two. You know, they're all right. They're all right.
Exactly.
Well, I was saying, like, they all played well, bro. They'll be a force to be reckoned with, but...
Was Manly in your eight? You wanted to put them in your eight yet?
Well, because I always thought they're a bit reliant on one player, but you know what? To be, like, I wouldn't really take notice of the table until maybe after round six. All right. You know what I mean? But this form is good. But, like, they've been a poor Souths team, let's be honest. That was all right performance, but Souths is tough to judge against because they're playing Kaya, man. And this was a good win at...
4 points.
In their home ground. But I wouldn't be jacking off on them right now. You know, early days.
All right. Finish out the round. Stacey's Wooden Spooners, the Dragons, 0 against the Dolphins. Hammer picking up a hat-trick. Hammer looked awesome. And that's what I was saying the week before, like when people are hating on him with that little mistake that he made, I'm like, well, you can't not let the Hammer make those mistakes because that's how he plays. He's an attacking player and he'll attack every ball, and 38-0 goes to show the way Hammer plays. I don't know. Did you watch this game? How'd you see that running?
Yeah, bro. Well, you know, these people who are criticizing Hammer. So that was one little error. That wasn't the losing of the game the fucking week before. The fucking forwards played shit. I don't know. That different Dolphins definitely come back strong, especially their home ground at Redcliffe. But. So, man, that was the fucking Dragons of the last 2 years, bro. That's another tough one to really analyze, like whether the Dragons were just straight Gaia and made Dolphins look good, or but I don't want to take the credit away from them. It just showed what kind of the class that Hammer's in, bro. We're talking about Ponga and Rhys Walsh, but don't sleep on the Hammer as a fullback, bro. He's fucking electric. We're quite lucky to have him as a Queenslander, the ability to play in the centres as well, bro. But I think as long as Hammer's fit and firing, bro, you know, Dolphins are capable of squeezing into the eight, eh?
More than yeah. Nice wrap. Yeah, nothing else from me for that game. Probably the only other thing is just their pickups. Yeah, your Bronx boys, man. The Flegler's looking real good at the front there, and Herbie has just continued his same form that he had at the Broncos. So, real happy for Herbie to see that he's still excelling and.
I don't know, bro. I beg to differ. We had a decent game on the weekend, but fuck, he was MIA in the first game. Flegler was. He didn't do much in the first game, in the first week. He showed out. You know, they, a lot of them played a lot better, but come on, we're judging them against the Dragons, bro. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm yet to be. Like, they're both quality players, but I don't think they played out of their skins. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're all right, man. They're all right. They played Gaia in the first week, and like the old team did. But I think they're a lot better, bro. But it's just, I think those two players, not enough to make them genuine top eight contenders. They're still better away. What do you think? Do you think they're, did you have them in the eight?
Dolphins is my wooden spooners.
Oh, was that you? I thought it was. Oh, Jules. Yeah,
Dragons and Stacey's. Dolphins was my. I didn't think they were going to improve. You guys mentioned that they've bought well, and they should improve. So yeah, I might have egg on my face by the end of the season, but that's alright. All right, let's go to some talking points. One that I wanted to bring up. And look, it's quite a hard one because I don't want us going the way of Six Nations and Super Rugby. But there was a couple of incidents that caused attacking players to go for HIA. So the first one, Famosili. So Famosili, in the first hit up of that game against the Sharks, he runs it up. Cam McInnes doesn't go low. And has a head knock with him. Famosili goes down from that. He's out for like 5 minutes on the ground. Cam McInnes is fine. And he's sent for HIA. Nothing happens to Cam McInnes. So it's like...
Oh, what do you think should have happened?
At least a penalty. At least a penalty. Just poor technique. Just poor...
Wasn't a head on head?
Head on head. But it's like three people in the tackle. He's coming in late. And he's just no attempt to... He's trying to just put on a shot, but mate, you're like.
So do you think he's purposely doing a haku headbutt?
Well, I just think it's.
Do you think it's a headbutt?
It's a headbutt. It's
Oh wow.
Well, why well, okay.
Do you
look,
think these guys are purposely?
I haven't looked at the Cam McInnes one very closely, but the other one I wanted to bring up, same situation, Kamikamika, or Kamitamita on. Tohu Harris in the Warriors game. That was definitely like a cannonball hit. His arms aren't even there. He's not even there. The only thing that's in the tackle is his head. And he just goes diving in and his head is the first thing there. Like, what else do you think you're going to tackle him with, bro? And so...
I don't think the judiciary agrees with you, bro. Well, otherwise,
I don't agree with a lot of that the judiciary says. So I beg to differ.
I don't even think he was put on a report.
Exactly. That's my problem with it. My problem with it.
Are you the only one in the world that thinks this is a headbutt?
Mate, if it's a head-on-head clash and Kamitamita is not even close to trying to make that tackle, but he hits him full-on square with his head before the rest of his body gets there in the tackle... Tohu Harris has to go off for 10 minutes. That's a crucial 10 minutes to our attack.
Wow. So you don't think that's like rugby is both codes is capable of any accidental head clashes anymore?
Oh,
you think that
look,
every
accidental,
tackler,
accidental,
every tackler
accidental is accidental.
Is doing a headbutt.
But when you're like diving in.
You don't think they're accidental?
How can you be accidental when you're diving in and your body's not even, like, lowered? If you're, like, coming... He's not a small guy. Maybe if he's, like, hit him and he's, like, low down to the ground, at least 5 meters, 5 foot. But he's, like, a 6 foot guy and he's hitting Tohu.
So what are you saying? Are you saying we have to tackle low now so that we just give away...
You're going
to
tackle low anyway.
A dominant
the game
tackles.
Is about tackling low.
Are we giving away dominant tackles
yeah, the
now?
Game's about tackling low. Why are these guys trying to headbutt people? Like, that's my point.
So what about these tackles if you hit high? But there's no head clash accidental. Is that all right?
Well, when the shoulder's hitting them in the face.
Anything. If you hit, if this is a front-on tackle.
So wait. So you tell me, what's the difference when there's shoulder on head, that's always every day of the week, that's on report or a penalty? So
of course.
So your shoulder's here. So your shoulder's here. How the heck is the head on head not the same? We expect them to get their shoulder below their head. But if the head hits the head, how the heck is your shoulder not possibly going to hit the head if you're not even trying to get your head below the head? We expect players to aim low. We expect players to at least get your shoulders below their head. So somehow your head's up at the same level as their head. How is that not the same thing?
Let's get into the sports science here.
Break it down for me, mate. Break it down for me.
If you're a tackler, like Adam Fanua Blake, right? If you're a tackler and you've lined him up, he's coming, he's right in your path. You drop, right? But what does Adam Fanua Blake do every time? Fucking late feet. And he puts on a late foot, but not quite enough to go to step you. Boom. His head hits your head. No. Should he be penalised? Should the ball player be penalised?
If the ball player drops.
You've only got a split second. Let me finish. You've only got a split second, and all it takes for... It doesn't even have to be late feet. It could be one guy's turning his head this way with the ball. A guy running with the ball could turn his head this way to kind of brace, and you're already in a position to tackle. That heads are going to meet, bro. Heads are going to meet. So when you lower your head, that's the first point of contact.
Making
contact, bro.
I agree.
What you're saying is that the defenders are initiating the head,
they
head
are.
Contact.
They
that's
are.
Not true, bro.
In these instances, they are.
What about the guy running with the ball? Is he not as responsible?
The guy running the ball, he's running the ball. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you got late feet.
But when you put your bumpers up, your head's coming forward as
and
well.
That's fine. But if the guy defending,
why is that
because
fine though?
If you're running the ball and you haven't lowered, so I guess it's on the attacking player. But if they haven't, it's a case by case. So yeah, it's not a general across the board rule. But if the guy is running, it sounds like
every head on head contact, you're saying that penalised the defender. Like, come on, who's what are you a fucking referee
so,
from
so,
Six Nations
So what was different
now,
in the
come
Isaac
on,
Tungle
bro.
Game that we just saw in about 10 minutes ago? Isaac Tungle got put on report for going head on head. I don't know what's the difference. Did they just listen to us before it happened? Why have they suddenly changed the rules in the third round? Maybe they've realised that their rules are shit because they realise it's a case by case and these refs are getting it wrong. How can the attacking player get 10 minutes? Because that's a disadvantage to the attacking team. All of a sudden, the guy that's done a mean-ass hit-up and he's stayed high, but all of a sudden he's out for 10 minutes getting an HIA because this defender hasn't gone low. Like, yeah, I understand if you're an attacking player and you do a step and you're coming low, there's that opportunity to get a head knock.
So that's a
exactly.
That's an accidental head
but
push.
If you've stayed high and you're just running your line and you're doing, like, both incidents, I guess this is my point, both incidents were guys running straight. They weren't trying to, like, go to the player and do some moves. Famo Sili was the first head-up of the game, and he's running straight. He put no footwork on. Cam McInnes came in as third man, straight in, head-on-head. As the third man, how do you come in as third man head on head?
But this is what I'm thinking, right? If they're both running straight high, right? Why is it on the defender?
Because
to move
he's
head?
The defender. Why are you staying straight up?
But what, you can still hit someone high. You
no
can
way.
Still hit
Why?
Someone
Why
high.
Are you trying to hit someone high if you're the defender?
Well, and not make contact with the head.
If you execute right, then you shouldn't be hitting the head. But if you're Kaya and you're like still standing up straight on a guy who's fucking up the nuts running it straight, why are you up so high? Kami Kamika is coming. He's not a short guy. and he's still up high. Like, he should at least drop.
If you're trying to drop your shoulder into his chest, but the head-on-head clash, is that not an accidental clash?
Not if the attacking player hasn't dropped.
Go into his
Maybe
chest?
If the attacking player drops. But if the attacking player is just up the nuts, trying to keep straight, puts up his bumper bars, and somehow you get above his bumper bars, that's just...
I think there's accidental head clashes, and then there's purposely headbutts.
And those are the those are what I'm pointing out, is the purpose headbutts. Both occasions,
well, I don't think people purpose come headbutts. In.
If the defender... Okay, then put it this way then. Let's not give them
winks, bro.
Again,
it's not
no penalty,
winks, bro.
No put on report. But at least send both for HIA. Both of them hit each other's head. Why is the defender okay? Why is he all of a sudden, he doesn't need to go HIA, but the attacker player does?
Because it's on the symptoms, bro.
Defender's got a better head.
That's how they judge.
What, the so defender's got a stronger head.
Do you think every little knock? Everyone's different. Do you think every knock has to go off?
Well, if the attacking player, if it's head-on-head, what mitigating circumstances does the defender have for him to not need an HIA? What did the bunker see that...
Because he stands up. He stands up and carries on.
So what, these guys are going to have concussion issues later in their careers because they're tough and like, I walked, I stood up.
Are you for mine now? Are you for mine now?
I'm just saying. Doctor? If it's head-on-head clash, somehow the defender's like got a stronger head.
Yeah. Okay. So, but listen. So the guy running with the ball, he gets knocked out. They both get head-on-head. Obviously, the guy running with the ball, he's injured and he's kind of fucking.
Well, he could be milking
dazed,
it.
Right?
That's the thing. He could be trying to milk a penalty, ref.
If you're showing,
look, this. I got it. Someone hit my head. I don't know if it was an arm. Forearm or what?
You take the chance. But what if the tough coconut that's tried to go in there?
Well, how are they determining that?
Tackle.
Rugby union have mouth guards.
Accidentally
rugby
headlock.
Union, but that's the thing.
Headlock, but does not display symptoms. You saying he should go?
Well, I don't know. I don't want us to bring in mouth guards that tell us that. But surely the bunker should know. Well, if this guy's been being knocked out, that guy hasn't got headgear. I should send him off too.
Well,
because
there's
head on head.
When he hasn't displayed
what symptoms? What are symptoms?
Bro, these guys got Dr. Mays looking at them and saying if he's unsteady on his feet.
You look at Tohu Harris.
Do you know what you're saying?
What did
ridiculous.
Tohu Harris do?
So
he stayed down, tried to get a penalty.
Ground,
didn't get a penalty. Right. 2 minutes later, you got to go HIA. What about the defender? Nothing for Kamikamika.
But obviously Tohu Harris was displaying symptoms for him to be asked to leave the field.
Because he kept playing on.
He
made two more hit-ups after that. No impact on the way he was playing. But all of a sudden the bunker goes, you got to come off for 10 minutes. See? That's what's not okay.
Yeah. He obviously saw
something.
What
did he see? He saw an opportunity to disadvantage the Warriors and take him off for 10 minutes.
We don't know that. But they look at the replay and they assess it.
I don't agree.
You're saying that any collision with the ulu, everyone's going to get off. You might as well send
everyone's
brain's
the same.
Player.
Well, someone's got a stronger brain than the next person. No way. If it's a shoulder on head.
Just because Tohu got let off for.
But I'm saying if it's a shoulder,
I mean, you're,
if it's
you're
a shoulder on
that.
Head, clear. It's clear that the guy defending. He's okay because it was his shoulder on that guy's head. So obviously the attacking player has to go for HIA. But if it's a head-on-head, how do those guys have some kind of... They've got no data at all other than, he looks okay. These players will kind of play for their contracts.
No, you're wrong. The data is assessing
what symptoms?
The symptoms.
They're just watching what's on field. You get players that carry on playing.
Yeah.
But then, we're just going to pull you off because we want to do a HIA. Zach Lomax got the same. So it feels like if you milk it, the bunker's going to penalize you for milking it. But the guy who's headbutt you is going to get to play on. So is that right? Is that the risk?
Good.
What?
Yes. If you're going to milk it,
So now you're gone from symptoms to if you're milking it, you get sent off. You get penalized.
Well, how can we judge?
Exactly. How can we judge? You just told me that there's symptoms and some analysis that they do, but now you're swept to on that. Yeah. It's just.
But if you're willing to milk it, and the formatee thinks that that's the symptoms,
I digress. Let's move on. Let's move on to something more interesting,
because he's lost, bro. not because of the HIA. He just lost.
Hey, I'm just trying to prove a point that these guys aren't being consistent with their way of assessing. There's going to be a lot of guys with concussions because they're trying to be tough, and I don't like it. Anyway.
This fucking game's getting ugly, man. Just like this.
Let's move on to something else that happened during the week. A couple of referee incidents. Jerome Hughes has been given a one-week stand down. They took the early plea because he pushed the referee in an attempt to defend a warrior coming towards him in a try-scoring situation. Your thoughts on that? The other point I want to bring up at the same time is Trindle avoids the referee, so he doesn't push the referee, but he's able to make it past the referee to get in a defending tackle attempt on Kikau. He misses a tackle on Kikau. Kikau goes through to score the try. And it's deemed disallowed because the ref has interfered in Trindle. So Trindle still got around him. No touch on the referee. But because Kikau scored, he's deemed, okay, well, Trindle possibly could have. Ain't no way fucking Trindle's going to stop Kikau. But they've decided that Kikau probably wouldn't have scored that if the ref wasn't there. How are you seeing these both? How do you see
that's the
both
right
of
call.
These situations, though?
Both is the right call. Trindle didn't get opportunity, right? It's like it's obstruction as well. It's like he wasn't given a clear opportunity to get to that.
He got around the ref.
And
he
it could have been. But he had to go extra fucking, you know, he probably wouldn't have got there in the first place, but he had to go.
It was a decision, though. It was a decision.
Run around
he was on the right hand side of the ref. The ref's here, and he's overcompensated because he thinks it's going to go out wide. And now he's on this side of the ref, and he's had to come back across to get kick out. So that's a decision.
No, but the path. The ref was in his path. The ref
like
was
any
in
other
his
player.
Path.
Can the ref not be on the field? Can the ref not be on the field? That's like any other player on the field. If that was his own player, his other player, can the ref not be there? That's his decision to go past the ref.
Obviously, it's his own player, that's their own player. But if it's another opposition, I'm glad they say it with the ref. Because you don't want the ref getting in the way. In terms of the other one, if we talk about the Storm one, that's different. That's warranted penalty as well, because he actually forcefully pushed them out of the way. And he could have milked it a bit better than what he did. You know, he could have just did the old run into him like, oh, you know, he would have probably got a penalty.
But he didn't need to push the ref. He could have done what Trindle did.
But
he could have done
anyway.
What Trindle did. And the reason he didn't is because he knows that the refs aren't consistent. He could have stepped around the ref. He could have moved around
smart.
The ref. And
he
that try would have been scored. And he knew that it may or may not have been a try allowed.
No. I think that both players knew they both had the ref in their line of sight, and it would have affected the play. One player decided to do something about it and push the ref, which is not on. Another player tried to go around him and actually went off his line, which ended up as a try. And so I thought that they ruled accordingly, which was correct.
Trindle pushes the ref, Kikau still scores.
Yeah. Trindle gets suspended. But what I'm saying is that they realized that the ref affected Trindle's line path to be able to do something, which he wouldn't have done anything anyway, but he's still got to give him the opportunity, bro. Let's agree to disagree on this, mate.
All right, that's probably something that we'll all agree on. And I guess it must have been hard. Like, you just get forfeited by Reece Walsh and you get a consolation try. You come off the field. Dan Ganain comes with a mic in your face and tries to ask you how it went. And you start dropping F-bombs all over the place. Your thoughts on Latrell's performance there?
Oh, it was Triple M Radio, bro. It was this guy called Dobbo. But anyway, it was poor, man.
It looked like someone is just barely.
It was fucking poor, bro. So, man, heaps of people get interviewed after the losses, bro. You know, one of the toughest interviews, not toughest, one of the classiest interviews I've ever seen was, I think it was 99 Rugby World Cup, bro. 99 Rugby World Cup, and the All Blacks lost, and none of these motherfuckers in that losing team wanted to hang around and get interviewed by anyone. They just took off having a sook in the changing rooms. And I think one of the only few left on the field was Joe Nolomu. And he had every right to be upset because he played awesome that game. He played awesome all World Cup. But he gave the classiest interview, gave props to the opposition. Even though he knew there was a lot of people that played Gaia, we all, the nation knew played Gaia, but he never dropped any of his teammates under the bus. And that was cool. And we've seen it in rugby league, bro. We've seen it in fighting. You've just got to be professional, man. Doesn't matter. Everyone knows
this guy's not a new guy to the game, either. Angry, so it's no excuse.
Bro, and you know it's another big. He is a big superstar in the game, bro. And whether we like it or not, I mean, I don't want to label these guys as.
But he's got followers. He's got social media.
But he has kids who are fans, bro. And like, you know, I'm not saying I'm a saint. You know, we all grew up watching fucking.
But you'll do what your favorite player does. If your favorite player does that, it's okay to do. When you go out, you're going to act the same.
What I'm saying is that there's a time and place, right? And you're professional, man. When you're, even though you win or lose, you got to act professional, bro, and swearing like that on the mic. If not for the look of your professional, you might not even care about that. But what about the kids, man? You don't want to normalize that for kids to say, and I know this is like, we don't want to be all PC and like, fuck, he should freedom of expression. No, it's not really about that, bro. It's not a good look, man. Just be classy, bro. Give the props to the opposition who won the game and just say they, you know, you guys can play better. But to go off on fucking swearing rant like that. So this is different. Me and you talking in this forum.
Exactly.
That's fine, bro. But a professional on the field where a lot of kids look up to you think you've got to be better.
The thing that irks me more is the stance he took on Spencer Lemieux only a couple of weeks earlier. He's going all out saying he should get more, you know, half-year sentence, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, then if you're obviously trying to say we've got standards in the game and there should be, you know, things that we stand by. That's one of the things, you know, as a player, you're a role model and you should stand by. And so to come out and just do an interview like that, it's like, bro, it's either one or the other. You can't have
what do you think about
high
this,
horse when it comes to Spencer and then act like that.
Yeah. It's
different things.
That's a bit different.
But still,
that's a bit different.
It's public eye. It's the public eye. It's the public image of the game. It's the same thing. He's going, look, our game, that's not okay. Well, the same thing. Language like that, like the way you present yourself and the forum you're in.
Fair point. What I'm more interested in is, do you think maybe he should have got like a fine or a little suspension for that, or would that be too over the top?
Yeah, I don't think, none of that changes it. Like, it's what's done is done, and I don't think it's the same level as what Spencer did. It's just not. For like the way he is, I think it's a fine doesn't change what it does. It's just like, be better, I think, for him.
Well, I'm kind of thinking if that was Jerome Luai, or if that was Spencer Lingyu going off like that, right? I think the Usos would have got some bad coverage, and as well as the NRL would have come down strong. I think, man, I don't know about you, but I think he's a bit of a protected species, bro. Old Latrell, man. But anyway, we won't go down that rabbit hole.
All right, bro. Multicultural round, anything stand out for you? The concept, I'm not too au fait with what the multicultural round is about. Is it just celebrating the different heritages of the different players? Is that what we're celebrating in multicultural round? It kind of jumped on me, and I was kind of trying to get the gist of, you know, we got heritage
round. I guess, bro. I guess it's
different indigenous round, and now we got a multicultural round.
I think the NRL do it pretty good.
Just another sale of another jersey, is it?
You know, it's getting 50. Yeah, well, you know, look at the outlook of the competition, bro. It's Islander, it's Balangi, and
Maori's and Indigenous.
A handful of Apolikis. Apolikis. Is it really truly multicultural? I don't know, man. Well, there's not many Inkias playing.
Yes.
There's not many.
Yeah. Where is the multi? Like, it's the same cultures that have been playing for a while. So, yeah, where are the... I'd love to see some more Inkias in the game. Some more Brazilians.
I always love our culture being celebrated up there. But I don't know, like a thing like NRL. It's just for them to tick the box. Look, we're diverse, man. Blah, blah, blah. But, oh, I guess you got to be proud that
they do something,
that we're being represented at high numbers in the sport, Eagles. But I don't know, bro. It's not a big deal to me, man. We've been repping these kind of sports for a long time. Rugby, rugby union, or the fighting combat sports. So it almost doesn't seem like a big deal for us Islanders. Perhaps maybe they could showcase some minorities, because in the general population we are minority
in this game. Exactly.
In the league world, nah, man, we're repping hard, at least 50% in all the losses.
And that's the thing, like for me, yes, celebrate the multicultural, but when you go through those team lists, how do you feel as one of the guys, like, yeah, the ones that are minorities in the game? Like, you see these guys like, oh, I'm just Australian, I'm just a Kiwi. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, how do I celebrate this round? Because, you know, Pasifika have cool things, and the Indigenous do these cool things, and the Māori do these cool things. Oh, I'm just I've only got Kiwi next to my name, or I've only got Aussie next to my name. And so, they're in the general sense of, population, they're the majority. But, when it comes to these rounds, I don't know, maybe they feel a bit less. It's kind of like, oh, it's obviously not something for us to celebrate. Those are for my Usos and my team, and I feel like it's all about them. So it almost feels like for them, it must be like around there just, I'll back you, bro, because it's about you. It's nothing to do with me. So, that's kind of like maybe the flip side of the view. It was cool. I saw Adi Sevilla decked out the Warriors boys with his new collaboration with Essex. He's got a multicultural boot that he's bought out. So awesome to see Artie doing, man, he's always been kind of onto it, doing all these cool different things. So it'll be interesting to see how many of the boys actually run out of those boots. I don't know if they've got contracts separate from the Essex, but those boots look on as well. So wouldn't mind scoring a pair of those. All right, Us. Let's just want to quickly look at our NRL fantasy. How'd you get on this week, man?
Another win, mate. I'm coming third. So it wasn't a big score, but done enough against Waifoi Mandingo.
Yeah. Oh, this reigning champ, is it? Yeah, last year's reigning champ, mate.
Yeah, reigning champ, but you know, it's just like the NRL, bro. You don't want to dog any teams so fast. There's a lot of the season left. What about yourself, bro? You've gone fucking stuff for the season, mate.
Pacing myself as well. Me and Mandingo down the bottom, just pacing our run.
good win from Clutch City, bro. I think it's one of the highest Clutch points. City's well, 700 plus. He's got a sick young
700 club. So yeah, he had a really good run. I don't know who's been doing well in your team at the moment. It's pretty hard to tell at the moment. Like the points are kind of with some outliers that we're not used to seeing picking up huge points.
Well, my big buy was Sean Johnson, and I was kind of disappointed that he wasn't kicking, man, like taking the conversions. So he was a bit down on his usual points because I made him my captain, and he only scored like 50 something points as a captain. But I was lucky enough that Zach Hosking, he scored like 94 points on the weekend, and he's been and he scored like 60 plus the first week. So he's been my buy of the year so far.
I see. Selwyn Cobbo had a good game last week. Reflected in his points though. Molotalo as well. So some pretty good buys, like outside of the usuals. Tig Wilton, he had a good round. Tedesco, looks like he's coming back into form. But yeah, at the moment, it looks like who's leading our board at the moment? Our leaders in our league at the moment. Or Madden, Cameron Suar. Cameron Suar leading at the moment, followed by Trow Mitt, yourself in third. Clutch City, fourth place. God Squad. Stace, this is year or next, Zals, myself, and bringing up the rear, the reigning champ. So it'll be interesting when Samoan Mandingo decides to make his move to start heading up the table. All right, let's round this out. Let's wrap up this week's games. Your predictions for this game that's looking pretty ugly at the moment, mate. No Trump. No pain,
Let's move on from that one, mate. Fuck that.
Oh, mate, it's only half time, mate. Calm down.
Nah, we're getting fucked. No chance. We're getting smashed at the moment. Still 20 minutes left to go, but 34-10 to the Panthers so far. Tomorrow, good game, bro. Raiders Warriors.
Look,
what do you reckon?
That's going to be hard. Like, Raiders, top of the board, and they are looking like a team built on defense. The Warriors, first two games, should have won. Had a great start against the Sharks, like I said. Should have finished that game out off the back of the Sharks' defense. Mainly the Warriors looking clunky at that first game. Last week, we saw the Warriors' terrible start. Came back in the second half, but couldn't finish it off. So, real important game for them to kind of solidify that the real deal. I don't know if it's worrying signs if they drop tomorrow's game, but I think it's probably one that they should win. They need to win, actually, just to keep their confidence up. After, you know, it's only two games, but, you know, if you worked on stuff.
Yeah, I don't think you should say they should win. This is fucking Canberra, bro. They've been playing well the first two games. It's not a should win. It's this is fucking 50-50, bro.
After you've been working on a preseason off the back of last year, and those first two games have been disappointing, and what we've seen from them.
Raiders made the 8 last year.
Well, yeah. Look.
Wow.
Yes, I am discounting the Raiders. The Raiders. It should be an easy win for you. Yes, they've got great defense.
Wow.
But I don't see anything attacking that would impress me in the Raiders. So if we had to drop this one, and then I think for fans and for the Warriors internally, it's real alarm bells. And so, yeah, for the Warriors, I think it's a real disappointment. Like the first two games, yes, that's a start, and it's only two games into the season. I don't think we're going to have knee-jerk reactions like the Rabbitohs and the Knights have had, but to not take out the Raiders in tomorrow's game being a home game over in Christchurch, that'll be real disappointing for the boys to drop that one. So I'm going with the Warriors for that game tomorrow, and it should be a win. How are you seeing it? I guess you're seeing it 50-50.
I'm seeing it's a tight game, and I don't think Warriors have a really good record outside of, don't quote me on that one, but outside of Mount Smart Stadium. I don't think this is like a should-win game. We're talking about the first place against the 14th place, even though it's only two games into the season. We're talking about a team that made the eight last year. Talking about a Ricky Stewart coach team. You look at this forward pack, you could almost argue that Raiders have the edge. Papali'i Tapene, two high international level props. You can argue Tapene is right up there with the best. Hudson Young, yeah, Elliot Whitehead with Zach Hosking, who's been awesome off the bench. But I mean, look at this Hudson Young, he's played the Origin.
Smithy's Whitehead, been impressive.
Captain, skipper, he's been his... Bro, you can't discount this forward pack, bro. It's fucking Tom Starling off the bench is pretty mean. You might say, you could probably easily say that Warriors have the edge in the backs, but it's won and lost up front, bro. But and saying that, I'm going to say Warriors just in a close game.
It's a lot of airtime you took up just then, mate. All right, the traditional battle of Sydney Roosters and Rabbitohs. I'm going Roosters on this. The Rabbits are looking a bit shaky. And to drop Ilias like this early in the season, I don't know what's going on there. I don't want to say panic stations. It's just, there's something happening there that you're going to blame your half this early in the season. But I don't know what Dean Hawkins going to bring better than him, but how are you seeing this one?
Yeah, I'm going to say Roosters because of form. I can't see. It's going to be a close one, though, man. Rabbitohs, if any team they can bring it up against is the Roosters, is a real rivalry. But I'm going to say Roosters, too many stars.
Nice. This should be a good one. Doggies and Titans, both of them needing a win, both 2-0, or 0-0 out of 2. I've gone Doggies on this. I think Doggies, like I said, they got fussy, but they showed some promise last week. Titans look horrible. Maybe the rest gave them some time to navel gaze. What are you thinking?
Yeah, bro, being at Belmore, I'm going to say the Doggies.
Oh. Doggies as well. Nice. All right, let's move across to the poor Dragons versus the Cowboys. I've gone Cowboys on this, but are you seeing it any different?
This is a Dragons home game. Yeah, I want to say Cowboys as well.
Yeah, it was all home games pretty much last week, eh? I noticed that on the stats, it was all the home games took the games. Tigers and the Sharks. Sharks looking real impressive, so I've gone Sharks on this. You seen the Tigers making some moves yet in the season?
Leichhardt Oval. I'm going to say Sharks in this one.
That'll fire Benji. Does that mean Benji needs to become a 24/7 coach?
Who said he's not?
He said it himself. He said it himself. I don't need to be there every day. I'll go home at 5. All right. This should be a good one. I think this might be game of the round. Eels versus Manly. Manly looking real impressive. I've actually gone Manly on this, but the Eels weren't too bad against the Panthers last week.
Manly. Comebacks them, yeah. I'm going to say it's the Eagles, bro. Manly, just a bit more form. But it's gonna be a crack of a game, man. We close one, mainly.
And finally, rounding out the weekend, we've got the Knights. Changes in their halves as well. Jackson Hastings got dropped, And the man didn't even want to stick around for the reserves training. He said he's just going to go home. So, I don't know if that's Fa'ali'i or they just, he knows. So, against the Storm, your thoughts on this? I went Storm.
Oh, fuck Storm, easily. Easily. It's at Newcastle on a Sunday afternoon, eh? But I just think, especially forward-wise, Storm, just too much class there, and they're on form.
Nice, Urs. Good wrap. That's all of our games for the weekend. Good talking
points. Thank you, bro.
A lot of points that I don't agree with you on this weekend. That's all right. Just jab you later. anything else you wanted to bring up, Urs? I know you're just angry because of your game at the moment, but it's all right.
Yeah, the better, the less we talk about that game. Can I just mention something real quickly also? I just want to send out my alofas to the TP family for losing the matriarch of their family, Toe Ole Surusulu, Leata Tipi, who just a real legend in Samoan early childhood. Yeah. Especially our Western Massey, bro. As you know, your boys was taught under her, bro, and she passed away earlier in the week. So to Malua and Lole and the rest of the Tipi family, man, Lokokele and Alofa's condolences to the family out there, man. Leata was just a legend, eh, in the Massey community for our young kids there. So just want to send my alofas to the aina there.
Yeah, nice. Also, second those condolences. That's a beautiful shout out, bro. Like, yeah, done so much for, you know, just our kids and Anganu'u and trying to keep it alive. Aonga Mata, you know, that's something so. It's like
They've done so, man. So many kids.
So many schools have that now. So many places have started that stuff. But one of the most early ones that I've ever heard of, you know, bringing like a kindy thing. It's like, hey, what's this kindy? It's all Samoan. So,
yeah, bro.
Amazing. Beautiful heart. Beautiful. The way she ran that was all alofa, you know, just off the back of her own, what she thought was right for the kids and our next generation. So, yeah, we can't thank her enough. And Tipi family, love and prayers to all of you guys. So, nice shout-out, Urs. Maro.
Sure, Urs. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you for coming on, bro. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Check out all our other podcasts on the wheswhesnet.com. The latest issue of the Wes Wes Sports Magazine is also out, so go check that out. If you're in the West Auckland area, you can pick that up at your local Countdowns in Te Aratu, Henderson, and Pack and Save as well. So it's all those free to pick up, or you can check it out online and check out all our other podcasts there. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Fafatai. Shout out.